All right, golfers, we've been telling you about it for years. Chicagoland's finest golf course. The Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox. It's home of golfer Bob. 18 challenging holes on a great new track. Now featuring a 20-bay heated top tracer range. Check out golfsanctuary.com and book a tee time. You no longer need to find your golf sanctuary.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's locked, cocked, ready to rock.
So Wesneski throws a gem in his first career start against Milwaukee. He'll go 6 1/3, 3-hit shutout, 8 total strikeouts for Wesneski.
Peyton Wesneski getting the love from Tommy Hotovy. That right there when we watch that best start in Peyton Wesneski's young career. First time he's gone 6 or more innings and not allowed a run. Tyone has been sharp here today.
He's being interviewed.
In there, Black is gone. Wendelstedt rings him up. That's 7 punch-outs for Tyone. Breaking ball in there. Got him. Freeze him. Assad is fired up. Swing and a miss. Gets away from Amaya. He'll throw to first to finish it off. 6 shutout innings. Javier Assad, the roll continues.
Pretty incredible what the Cubs starting staff has been able to do. Any guesses on what their starting rotation is this year? The ERA?
I know currently they're 4th in Major League Baseball, right? So I'm going to go with a 2.38.
They're 3.13.
Okay. So,
which is very
shot a little aggressive.
Very impressive. Like, I think over their last 10 or 11 games, they're the best in baseball.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you have to include, in my calculation, I would have had to have included Hendricks.
Yeah.
Kyle Hendricks' mistakes. So, but still, Assad's 166. What's the, Imanaga's 78.
Shota.
Shota's 0.78 and Tyone's 1.13 in his limited starts this year. That's pretty damn impressive.
I heard like the stat of in their like 10, last 10 or 11 games, they're number one in baseball and their ERA is somewhere around 2.
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks. Chris Kamka had an interesting stat, and we heard from right there, Boog, JD, also yesterday, Girardi was on the broadcast. Meller, who was the credit on the first highlight
that was,
on the Friday game?
The Milwaukee Brewers broadcast network.
Okay, so there you go there. The Cubs take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. Chris Kamka had this stat. All 3 of the Cubs' starting pitchers from this weekend series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they all went more than 6 innings throwing scoreless baseball. Do you know the last time that happened for the Cubs? In a series where they went at least 6 scoreless innings in at least a series of 3 games or more where all 3 of those guys did not allow a run.
Are we talking in the Kerry Wood era? Is Kerry Wood part of one of the...
No,
okay.
it goes...
Further back?
Further back than that.
I couldn't venture a guess.
This is the only time from 1901 through the present the Cubs have played a series of 3 games or more and had a start of 6 or more scoreless innings in each game.
So it hadn't happened since 1901?
1901. He said, Chris Kamka tweeted, that he was coming through Stathead. And he could not find any time in a series of 3 games or more where all 3 starting pitchers went at least 6 innings and all of them went shutout. Like, and that's why, to me, even though they've been hurt, even though, you know, other guys have not been hitting, why Friday I said to you, I go, look, they've got to start winning these games. Their starting rotation have been doing something that not a lot of teams have been able to do. And I was so happy to see them finish the game on Saturday. Got very close for comfort again with the bullpen. They had, what, a 5-run lead in that game, 5-0. And they ended up making it very close in the end. They blew a 5-0 lead. And then Naris had a 2-run lead in the 9th inning. And they had 1st and 2nd and protecting a 1-run lead then. And he almost gave that thing up. Yesterday was finally one of those comfy games.
Yeah.
But they've got to win these games, and they were able to do that, and they're basically tied for first place with the Brewers right now.
How comfortable are you giving the ball to Palencia in a tight spot?
Not yet. I mean, I know he throws over 100, and he looked great yesterday.
But he's had some hiccups earlier in the year.
He's got to harness it. He's got incredible stuff, and he can do something that not really anyone on the Cubs rotation, starting rotation or bullpen can do. I don't think they have a guy who could throw 100, do they? Ben Brown is high 90s. I don't know if they've really got a guy.
He throws 100 and the ball moves.
Yeah.
Like, what's his face on the south side? Kopech throws 100, but the ball doesn't move
it's straight.
As much as this guy throws.
Yeah, and sometimes it moves too much for him.
Yes.
And he doesn't know where it's going. And if they could figure it, and yesterday he looked filthy, but it was
there's no pressure in a 5-0.
Right, right.
I get it, but like at some point you guys are going
to
have to settle on somebody to give the ball to in crucial moments late in games.
And maybe it will be Ben Brown. You know, maybe they trade for somebody. Jed speaks today. Jesse is all over that. So as soon as Jed is done speaking, Jesse's going to pop on and explain what he has to say. Because again, I think most people are pretty happy where the Cubs are, but they have blown far too many games protecting a 1-2 run lead late in these games, where they could be one of the best teams in baseball, and they shouldn't be tied. They should have the lead in the division. But the starting rotation has been great. Justin Steele comes back today. It should get deeper too. If they get, if Wicks comes back, and if his forearm is okay, Cade Horton should be coming soon if he pitches well in Triple A. Just got the promotion from Double A to Triple A. He's one of their top prospects, their top pitching prospect. So if he comes up, and then you get some of these guys to go to the bullpen, Wisniewski goes to the pen, Ben Brown goes to the pen, Assad's pitching too well right now, you probably want to keep him where he is. And then maybe the bullpen gets better just because some of the guys go to the bullpen. But I still think you need a closer. Neris cannot close. Neris absolutely cannot close. He like walks the first guy he faces every single time. He's a guy in the pen, but he can't close for you. But all in all, Saturday and Sunday, good days because they finished off wins.
You get Yu Darvish on the bump tonight for Mellor's team, the Padres. You guys have had some success against him, haven't you? I know earlier this season in early April you guys did.
Yeah.
I think you guys have handled Yu Darvish quite well. But it should be a nice matchup tonight, Darvish versus Steele. That's just some good early May baseball for you.
It is. I texted you guys the three pitching matchups. I think they're all good, right? Isn't it Darvish, Musgrove, and Cease for them going?
It may have been Musgrove slated, but he's since hit the injured list.
Okay.
So it will be Darvish and Cease. I'm not sure who the scheduled starters for the Padres on Tuesday.
Well, you think Cease will have anything juicy to say about the White Sox as he's hit with some Chicago reporters?
What would he say, though, that's juicy? You know, like
good to be out of there.
Yeah, like honestly, he's probably like so thankful.
Well, a lot of guys have said that what a mess it was, at least off the record.
He just doesn't seem to be that type, right? I mean, just kind of.
Yeah, like Lance Lynn, you knew it was coming the moment he was traded away. I would be surprised if C says anything bad. I just think he'll take the high road because he's happy. He's happy.
Correct.
He's not part of the team anymore, to be honest.
Okay. All right.
He's had a good start to the season.
Yeah. So if you want to talk some Cubs with us, 312-332-3776. But I watched I watched all innings of both baseball games, at least of the two Cubs games this weekend. Saw a lot of the Sox, too. 312-332-3776. It was a beautiful weekend as well. So what was the roast? We covered both of that.
I caught the I didn't catch the beginning of it. I caught the last probably hour plus of it. I mean, there were some things that were funny as hell. Like, I laughed hard, especially when the professional comedians did their thing. I thought it was kind of funny at times to see some of the former players and some of his teammates step up and recite jokes that have been written, obviously, by somebody else, but delivered. I think Julian Edelman delivered his jokes pretty well.
Yeah.
Gronk was being Gronk. But there were some really funny moments. I just, like, in general terms, and maybe this has been discussed already, I just wonder, why did Tom Brady decide to do this?
Remember, and we've told you about this. Like, Carmen Yurk didn't know this was really happening. And we've been on this where I said the question last week. I said, what will be the better Netflix event this week or this early summer? Will it be the Brady roast or will it be the Tyson-Paul boxing match? And I picked the roast. I love a good roast. I love when the comedians, Jeff Ross has done these roasts on Comedy Central for years. Nikki Glaser's very good at what she does.
There was two guys in there as well that did their thing that were hysterical. Tony something. I know that Tyler.
Hinchcliffe.
Or Jeff, yeah. He was hilarious. Who was the other guy that just.
Andrew Schultz is probably the other
one.
He
was funny too. Like, the pros are great at it.
Yes. Yes.
Great at it.
I thought Belichick was very good. Like, I know
I didn't see a ton of him.
I know he's doing jokes that are written for him, but I still thought it did him very well. I thought he was one of the winners of the night.
Yeah.
Because
kind of humanized.
Yeah.
Him.
Yes. I think, considering, and I thought there was a good joke in there about how he's here for the roast of Tom Brady after I was the person who was roasted for the 10-part series on the Apple documentary.
Yeah. No, it was good. There were some really good lines. I had and I enjoyed it. I had two questions. Why did Tom decide to do this? And why did he decide in his... You haven't seen his presentation.
Not
I can't
yet.
Wait for you and Mellor to see it, to see what you... I thought it was the worst part of the entire roast.
You
was, I thought Ben Affleck just was Ben Affleck, and I don't know what he was doing. In fact, after about 3 minutes of Ben Affleck, I went into the bathroom and used the facilities and then came back and was hoping he was gone, and he was gone at that point.
For those who don't know, this was on Netflix, and it was 3 hours long.
Live TV. It was event.
I'm not going to lie, because I started, like you, Sylvie, late night. I think I started at 9:30, so I only knocked out the first 2 hours. But when I flipped it on and I saw like 3:04 or something like that
I
for the runtime,
yeah.
I was like, oh, boy. I was like, I'm not going to finish this tonight.
You guys, I think you'll love what Peyton Manning came in at the very end, was short and sweet and was very good and didn't get into the gutter as much as some of the other guys to kind of, you know, typify his brand. But I just can't wait to see what you guys feel about Bray. I thought the worst part of it was Tom's presentation at the end when he got back at everyone and it was a very kind of douchey performance,
really?
I thought. Yeah, and I'm like, he's one of my favorite athletes of all times. I just wonder, and I said to Mellor when I got in today, I said, what do you think the motivation was behind this?
It's
and
money.
Of course, but how much? Tom Brady doesn't need the money. Well, he doesn't need the brand boost.
But what? Okay, so Seinfeld just this weekend also dropped a new movie called, like, the Pop-Tart movie. I watched
Unfrosted.
Half of it.
Unfrosted.
I watched half of it. And like, I don't think it got very good reviews.
Really?
I didn't mind the first half. I didn't love it, but I didn't mind it. Well, what did he do a Pop-Tart movie for?
I don't know, but this is his arena. This isn't Tom Brady's arena.
No,
maybe the payday was $50 million.
Why did how many Adam Sandler grown-ups did he do?
For the money, yes.
Yeah,
of course.
So,
of course. But I'm just saying, like, what...
They're paying him 20 plus million, probably.
Yeah,
because that's 3 hours of content like a movie dropping.
Sure. Oh, so I bet he got more than 20. I bet I would think he got more than 20.
But that's where it probably started.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
maybe
my thought.
Maybe it was just a money play on his behalf.
Here's the thing. Netflix is really starting to move into the live performances. They are, you know, that's the next big kick for them because clearly they've captured a lot of the market in terms of subscribers. I think they're kind of at a point where it's hard for them to see growth in subscribers. So now they need to add revenue in other ways, and they want people to watch live. And I think that's what this is, you know, so that they can put in their promos into the thing. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, types of ads that will start to evolve out of it. But yeah,
isn't there a lull in programming right now because of what happened with the writer's
strike? That, you know what, you're probably right about that.
You probably need quick programming that's live.
That's a great point, Sylvie. And they paid, I think it was reported like $40 or $50 million to Chris Rock when he did his stand-up after the Will Smith incident. So if they paid him...
Well, this place, where was it at? I mean, it was the Forum. It was packed.
This was an arena show. So
yes.
Let me play you some of it for those who didn't see it. It's on Netflix. It's even though it was live, you can still now watch it just like any other show. Jeff Ross is the Roastmaster General, right? Do they call him just the Roastmaster? Does he go by Roastmaster General?
I don't know.
He's hilarious. He's great. Whatever reason, is this the part of
this
the massage?
This is not that one, no.
No, this is not the massage stuff. Okay, so let me give you just a little Jeff Ross here.
Tom, I really wanted you to be our first goat to be roasted because you're an example to future generations that if you work hard, eat right, film the other team's practices, deflate the balls, and have the NFL make new rules just for you, then you too can be the third most famous guy in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
So, like,
there was some great. Again, the professionals were fabulous.
He made a massage joke about Robert Kraft and how he went up to him and said, "This is the best decision you're ever going to make by drafting me." And Brady got up and he said, "Hey, cut that crap out.
Don't say that blank again."
Yeah. And they made every Giselle joke in there about the jiu-jitsu instructor. They made jokes about him losing his wife and his kids to the divorce. They made Bridget Moynihan jokes and having the kid out of wedlock, right? His first child?
Yes.
And leaving her. They made
Alex Guerrero jokes in him.
Guerrero, right.
I mean, nothing was off limits.
No. But for whatever reason, if you made the massage joke, was an untouchable, and Brady made that known. And I guess today, Drew Bledsoe, who is a part of the roast, who another winner from this, who does not mind leaning into this, being the guy who got replaced by Brady, he took part in the roast. He went on today and said that was not in the script.
Yeah.
That Brady was Matt.
I didn't think it was either. So that doesn't surprise me. But
my guess is that there was probably a stipulation that be the, because everything else, like you said, was not everything else they touched upon, right?
Can there be stipulations like of all of the jokes that were told and some of the topics that they broached in the humor?
Well, it was crazy. I'm so blue and so, like, and roast should be politically incorrect.
Yes. I mean, but for that, I think.
Here's the thing.
The massage joke was one of the least
correct,
frightening comments made.
So, Sylvie and I only watched the first half. You watched the second half. Yeah. There was no other massage joke regarding Robert Kraft, was there?
No. None.
So, clearly, I think the comedians must have known or been told that's off limits. But my guess is that Jeff Ross, because this is partially, he's a big part of the production. He probably wrote a lot of the athletes. Yeah, that was probably a lot of his writing. I imagine Jeff Ross knew that it needed to be addressed, but, once he did it, he knew, okay, we touched it, but Tom Brady's not going to have any part of it. Because otherwise, why would he go up in the middle of that and shut it down?
Meantime, they're making all these cheating jokes about the Patriots, that we cheated. Randy Moss, why didn't we cheat when I was on the team? Like, all that is no big deal. But that, hey, Belichick can't get a job these days. Even Belichick's joking about that. All that stuff. But they could not make one Robert Kraft massage joke.
You could make one, but that was it. Then they drew the line.
Yep. Here's Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe was one of the first roasters. He was very funny. And again, what's so great about him is his humility. That here he was, the guy, the number one overall draft pick, who was replaced by Brady, and it forever changed the Patriots and the two of their careers.
So, hey, look, buddy, you have more rings than I do. But I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. The feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Pretty good.
It was good. There was a lot of good stuff. I thought Kevin Hart was fantastic.
You want to hear that? Here's Nikki Glaser roasting Kevin Hart.
No, Kevin, I love you. No one works harder than this man. Do you know that every morning Kevin wakes up at 4 a.m. to make a movie? No, I love your movies, or as I call them, short films. No, I'm kidding. I hate them. No. No, sorry, Kevin. I don't mean to belittle you, but you be little, man. Like, you're a tiny guy.
She made a great crypto joke, too, about Brady and Gronk. Yeah. I think that may be in the system that Carmen and Yurko played.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, we know that not real money. Like...
Here's Ron Burgundy. You missed him.
I missed Ron Burgundy.
So Will Ferrell, of course, bringing back Ron Burgundy as a character, roasting Tom Brady.
Hello. My name is Ron Burgundy. And I am a very big deal, but tonight is not about me. I love you, too. Not about me. We are here to honor a champion of the gridiron, a great American, a father, and a sexy man, a true patriot until he was not, of course.
And it was very good. There was some good stuff about Eli Manning in there from Ron Burgundy as well. So I didn't hear this part. This from Andrew Schultz. I'll give you one more. Then I'll make this more local then about a Chicago roast.
Tom, I know Bill Belichick showed up late, but don't worry. I'm sure he has someone secretly recording this so we can watch the whole thing later, okay? Bill is secretly filmed more guys playing for the other team than Diddy. That's your boy, Kev.
Yeah, the pros were unbelievably funny.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievably funny, the pros.
All right, so here's what I want to know. 312-332-3776. We have a poll question, and this thing is neck and neck right now. And I want you to weigh in. You can not only vote on the poll question, but I want you to call now. Which current or former Chicago sports figure would be the most entertaining to roast? Would you want to see in a unedited roast? The three that I gave you are Jay Cutler, Michael Jordan, and Jerry Reinsdorf. Now, remember, when these guys get roasted, it's who they also bring to do the roasting. Not only the comedians, but about, like, so with Michael, you would get Scottie Pippen there, too. You know, you would get... Hopefully him and Barkley could mend fences and Barkley would roast him as well. With Jerry, it's all the guys who ever played for him. You'd get Ozzie. You'd get Kenny. You would get Michael. You would get Scotty.
Tony La Russa.
Tony.
There's no chance.
Harrelson's coming
back. There's no chance Tony's sitting on stage for 3 hours. You better bring a cot.
I was going to say, you give him a cocktail, he'd be up on stage.
No, you better bring him a cot to lay down.
Yeah, you'd have a bed with a nightstand with like a bottle of alcohol.
Ozzy would be a good topic.
Yeah, like you'd get all, Jay would be outstanding. How great would Jay be? Like you'd have all the guys who loved him and hated him.
Yeah.
And they'd all roast him. And then he'd roast them all back.
I still think Michael's your answer.
Or other. And if there's someone else that we may be missing, 312-33. Some of the Blackhawks of the three championship. Would it be too messy with Patrick Kane? He's one name I thought of.
Yeah.
Too messy?
Maybe so.
I mean, you had the Patriots and a bunch of Aaron Hernandez jokes. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
How much messier can it get?
Yeah,
no,
but
you're right about that.
He wasn't the subject, though. He was like the side
show.
That's
fair.
312-332-3776. I'll give you the results. Who would you want to see? And if you want to talk some Cubs with us, be our guest. Anything on your mind? Caleb Williams was at the Cubs game on Saturday. Jesse Rogers coming up in about an hour from right now. Anything on your mind? Want to hear from you at 332-3776.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Said, I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
You heard Brady there go up to him and then say, what do you say? Cut that blank
Don't
out.
Don't say that blank again. I mean, again.
Jeff Ross like, okay.
All of the jokes that were made, that seemed to be a less touchy topic from the outside than some of the other stuff that was mentioned, but who knows?
Kids off limits? No. Kids on limits. Yeah. It's okay.
You want to talk about that Tom Brady loves him some Bob Kraft. There's no question, but still.
It's a roast.
Yeah.
You visit Orchids of Asia before a playoff game.
And you come to the Tom Brady roast and you're... The bell, I give Kevin Hart a lot of credit too. Like, I don't think it was scripted either to bring up Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft, and they did. He, you know, reluctantly. Bob Kraft was all for it. Bill Belichick wasn't for a shot. They were going to do a shot. And you could tell that Bill Belichick didn't want to be there for that particular moment, but Bob Kraft was all in. Bob Kraft did the shot. Belichick did not do the shot. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He raised his glass.
But
I don't think Belichick was drinking necessarily.
No, he wasn't, because earlier in the night when Gronk wanted everyone to do the shot, Edelman and everyone, he didn't do that shot either. He just, I don't know. I don't know if Coach Belichick doesn't drink or not.
I think Belichick, too, is furious at Kraft.
No doubt.
Because I think he feels that the documentary railroaded him from getting a job, and I feel like the story that came out about the Falcons, that him as the reference did him no favors either.
I think Bob Kraft thinks or wants everything to be all peachy keen, and Bill Belichick's not ready to go there.
No, and fine, of course, you're going to have differences in the end, and you didn't see eye to eye in a lot of the things, but he feels like now all of a sudden they're making him to be the evil guy in all of this.
Yes. It sounded, or it looked like, for the most part, Brady and Belichick are okay. They're on okay terms.
Yeah.
But Kraft and Belichick, not so much.
Very fascinated by that whole thing. I mean, just by all of it. You know who Belichick seemed to have the most love for there? Oh, did you not? You didn't see the Belichick part, did you?
I didn't see. No, I saw the very end of it.
Meller, did you see?
I did.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm trying to remember. He crushed Danny Amendola pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because Amendola ripped him in
That's right.
Don't forget that.
That's Amendola right.
We played for Tom. We worked for Bill. Yes. We played for Tom.
Yes, he ripped him in the documentary. I was not surprised by him going after Amendola, getting only 150 yards.
Chicago's own.
Yes.
Yes, Bill Belichick loved Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison, like, he was going around ripping guys, and then he got to Rodney Harrison, and instead of, like, roasting him, he's like, hey, Rodney Harrison should be in the Hall of Fame. He's like the best guy to ever coach. Rodney, I don't know why you're not in the Hall of Fame. You need to be in the Hall of Fame, and one day you'll get there.
And invite me to Canton when you do.
Yeah.
That's great. And by the way, when you will love this too. You have to notice it. When Peyton was done and he comes over and he hugs Tom Brady and shakes hands with him, Belichick gets out of his chair to come over and hug
Peyton
Manning.
Yeah.
Because in front of Tom Brady and everything, it was, and now he's going to, I mean, obviously he's going to work with Peyton and Eli this upcoming season, but Bill loves him some Peyton Manning.
He appreciates good football or like just the football junkie in it.
Yeah.
Did you see when Belichick was on McAfee or maybe from draft night, but I missed it at the time. I saw it on social media over the weekend, breaking down Caleb Williams' film.
I did not.
That was good stuff. We should pull that in place.
I know he wasn't very complimentary of Drake May. Was he more complimentary of Caleb Williams?
Yeah, like he likes Caleb Williams a lot, and he breaks down like just his quick release and how a lot of the stuff is going to play, but then a lot of the stuff he like just... the ad-libbing he doesn't like. Like, he's very fair. He says, this is going to be great, and this is why he's awesome. This quick release and the way he gets it out right here great, and the plays that he makes are fantastic. This is why he's got to eliminate this.
Yeah, it won't work at the next level.
He's got to take this and not tuck it and then start doing all this crazy stuff.
And I think he's capable of doing that.
But Belichick's a good analyst.
Yeah.
I think Belichick will be a much better analyst than Brady.
Minus the personality. He'll break it down for you, for sure.
Right. Like, maybe not during a game, but I think Belichick in, like, the studio stuff to do what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
Because he's working with Peyton, isn't he?
He is, Peyton and Eli.
Yeah.
I think Brady, I don't think Tom Brady takes anything lightly. I I'm a huge Greg Olsen fan. I don't know that he'll be better than Greg Olsen, but I think Brady will be good at his job.
No Greg Olsen jokes last night, right? No, I didn't catch
it. I think that's too that's what nerdy. Inside
football.
Yeah. Eli Manning, my buddy Perry, sent me this. I don't know if you guys saw this. I guess Eli Manning tweeted.
Today, yeah.
I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I didn't want to roast him for a third time.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. So here's the poll question. Which current or former Chicago sports figure roast would be most entertaining? Tweet me other. I gave you three options and other. We've had nearly 3,500 votes. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer, Toyota Let's Go Places. It's Cutler, MJ, Reinsdorf, and other. Who do you, did you see who's leading?
I did not, no.
Very close right now.
My vote would have been MJ.
MJ is second right now with 34.1% of the vote. Cuddy is leading the way.
Is he really?
With 35% of the vote. It's that close. It's separated by 0.9 of a point. 0.9 of a percentage point. Jay Cutler, 35% of the vote. Michael Jordan, 34.1% of the vote. Jerry Reinsdorf, 27.5% of the vote. So they're all pretty similar.
I would just think the material for Jay would dry up pretty quickly. Like, you could go on forever with regard to Jerry or Michael. And I'd like to see Michael stand up and slap the crap out of people when they said things that he didn't like.
There would be so many people that you could bring in with Michael.
Yes.
Because of his fame.
Yes.
Like I would love to see LeBron get roasted. Do you think LeBron would ever do this?
No.
Does this open up a new series of events for Netflix? Where now, like, Aaron Rodgers gets roasted.
I think that, to be honest with you, I think, unless the number's enormous and you can't turn it down, I think if you're LeBron and you saw last night, you don't want to go there. Because it gets ugly, it gets dirty.
Really?
Yes. Why would you want to expose yourself to that? Unless the payday was something you couldn't turn down.
Boy, he likes the fame though.
Yeah, but he also doesn't like people. You know, I was surprised.
You didn't think Brady did either.
No, I thought Brady. The only moment where I thought Brady was, and the time I watched, was upset was with Jeff Ross. That was
it. Right. He squirmed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did look uncomfortable, and his go-to move was to take another drink of whatever he was drinking last night.
Yes. But, like, think about all the former Bulls hashing that out.
Yeah.
Like, Michael sitting there and just Scotty trying to unleash, and then Michael going back at Scotty then.
How about Isaiah Thomas comes in for it?
Oh, yeah. Let's go with that.
That's what I mean. Like, Jay would be funny. It would just have to be a quick one because there's not enough material. You couldn't go 3 hours with Jay.
Michael Jordan is something that's actually like on the table. Like you could see Netflix pursuing that.
I don't think Michael wants. Like Michael's a hermit these days.
You're right about that. He's probably not likely to accept the huge check, and not that he would ever need it.
What would it cost to get Michael Jordan to do that?
Yeah, I don't.
Because he's worth a billion.
That's why I'm saying, like, when you say $20 million, I know that's a lot of money. I have to believe that Brady exposes himself for more than
50? Do you think 50 million? Like, what number does Brady say no to?
How about this? It's 25 basic pay, and then based on ratings or whatever it is, he gets points or something like that.
The problem, that's a good call, but Netflix is, like, notoriously secretive about letting any of their data go. So they don't, like, let people have money on the back end. That's how they're so successful.
But maybe Tom Brady says, look, you got to break the mold if you want me to do this. I don't know. I'm very interested to hear how much they had to pay him for this. Wasn't he listed also as, like, an executive producer of it, Tom
Brady?
Probably.
But the thing is, that's why whenever you see those astronomical figures that Netflix will pay out to people like Adam Sandler or Chris Rock to come into the fold, it's because they'll cut them a big check. But they don't give them any money on the back end.
How much did you say they paid Chris Rock?
Chris Rock, I think it was reported $40 or $50 million.
I gotta believe you. You're giving Brady the same, aren't you? Tom Brady's one of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah.
And now, listen, I know Chris Rock was coming off of the thing with Will Smith.
$40 or $50 million, though?
If that's what they're paying Chris Rock, I would think that at the very least it's disgust.
Here's something I didn't understand either. And then we'll get to your calls. Who do you think would be the most interesting? Like, is there enough material with Cutler? And would he bring out enough people where it would be fun? Like, Michael, there are so many rivals and famous people and current with what's going on with the 90s Bulls. It would be so good. With Jerry, he's got two teams, and there's so many good things and characters where you can get to. I think a lot of the Hawks, former Hawks people, would be really good. Here's what I didn't get either. In the same vein of, hey, they're protecting Robert Kraft with the massage jokes, you made every blue joke out there. You made uncomfortable jokes. You went you didn't care about being PC, which I don't like in roast, you shouldn't. Then Kim Kardashian gets booed. And they're like, oh, now stop it, stop it, stop it. Don't boo. I'm like, wait a minute. You're ripping everyone to shreds. You're tearing apart Giselle and cheating with the jujitsu, and you're going after Brady and his kids, and you're going after this person and that person, and Aaron Hernandez murdering this and that, and Kim Kardashian is getting booed, and now all of a sudden you're getting all sensitive on us.
You know what's what it is? What's his name had the last laugh? The guy that came up on stage after he was sitting with Dana White, and like one of his last jokes was about Kim Kardashian. Like he was,
Hinchcliffe.
I'd never seen him before. He was the highlight of the whole thing.
Was
for
he?
Me.
Yeah. Did he go after her too?
Oh yeah, like, he went after everyone.
Like why?
It did it in rapid fire fashion.
Yeah, and if you're not on pace, you miss something. Yes. But if you are, it's great. Yes. But why is it a big deal that she's getting booed?
I don't know.
You're not sensitive to anybody in that audience.
Why
everyone's
was she there?
Getting crowd?
Why was she?
I have no clue.
Listen, I'm sure they paid her to be there. I think what happened is, you know, going into the roast that you're going to be made to feel uncomfortable if you're either on the dais or doing anything like giving the toast like Kim Kardashian. But you know that going in. They don't want, though, and I think you saw that from Jeff Ross and Kevin Hart when they did shut it down, Sylvie, the boos. They don't want Kim Kardashian to not feel welcome there. And the booing, as silly as it is, because there's a lot of jokes, you know, that cross the line you would think if you're her, but the booing makes you feel like people hate you. And that's probably why they were like, no, don't go there.
Mm-hmm. Julian, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Julian?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'd be amiss if I didn't say hello for my son, Ryan, that you brought up on the stage for the Christmas show.
That's right. How's he doing? Hey.
He's doing great. He's slapping the ball pretty good, playing baseball and pitching up north. Really
is he
well.
Still on the honor roll?
He's smoking. He's smoking.
That's
the
key right there.
That's it. But hey, I think you guys can make money with this for a good cause. Put the coach up there. Can you imagine doing Ditka, a roast on Ditka, and all the people you could bring in for that? I mean, you know, the guy that got hit with the gum in San Francisco. The bag man in Vegas taking in the fridge period fridge money scoring the first touchdown in the game for the Super Bowl. I mean, you guys get a little off on that.
We like back when the station was in its infancy, we did a Coach Ditka roast. This I got to say, this was probably in 2000.
Who is the Roastmaster General?
Oh, jeez, who
was it? Harry?
I forget who it was, but like. All the old timers were here. All the old timers were here. Someone fell off the stage too. Like
oh,
they got,
that was Paul Hornung.
Yeah, Paul Hornung fell off the stage.
That was at you the were, Ditka you, Roast.
At the Ditka Roast.
Okay, I remember that.
Maybe at the Sheraton Grand. We had one of the big hotels downtown. I feel like it's past its course. Don't you?
Yeah.
Like with the young. With I don't think that will hit its mark. Like we're past its prime.
Yes. And yeah, Coach is in no shape to be
roasted anymore.
Yeah.
I think we need something more current right now. That's why I like something with the current.
Mitch! Bring in Mitch! Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, Mitch. Mitch.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Mitch Rosen.
No, Mitch Trubisky.
Because I think Mitch Rosen was like one of the creators of that one.
Was he?
No, I think we need like some of the Hawks to do it. Like the, you know, that's why like Kaner or something like that or MJ or something like that. This is Jim in Crystal Lake. What do you got, Jim?
Hey, guys. So this is probably past its prime, too, but in my opinion, Phil Jackson. All the Zen stuff you could get the Lakers and L.A. involved in it, Jeannie Buss, and all the players coming back and ripping him about different things here and there. I think that's a good one. But again, I agree it's probably past its prime.
Yeah, I just think he's just out of the spotlight too long. Like MJ's still one of the most famous people around. And you would still get Phil there for MJ's roast, and maybe Phil would be up there for a couple of minutes, and maybe people would take a couple shots at Phil, but I don't think Phil could carry the ticket.
No.
Like, with MJ, you can get something like that. 332-3776.
I think it'd be great to roast Charles Barkley. I know he's not Chicago, but, Barkley as the center, you know, the spotlight of a roast would be great.
Has he ever been roasted?
I'm not sure.
He would be fantastic. That's why I think a LeBron one would be great. Barkley would be fantastic. An Aaron Rodgers roast, honestly, would be very good.
It would, yes.
Because it could get very uncomfortable.
Of course.
312-332-3776. The good, the bad, the dirty coming up. If you want to talk some baseball with us, be our guest.
Seven Bridges Golf Club is one of the best-kept secrets in just a half-hour drive from Chicago. A scenic, challenging, and rewarding course. Seven Bridges offers daily fee play with a private course feel, and it's home to DuPage's best 19th hole, the Dock Bar and Grill. So book your tee time today at sevenbridgesgolfclub.com.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
I got a would you rather for you. GR tweets us and he says, I put the chances right around zero of Scottie Pippen showing up for a Jordan roast. So that got me to think of the two big premiere events on Netflix this summer, the roast and the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan roast each other or fight each other?
Roast each other. I'd rather see them roast.
You're a civil man.
Well, not just that. I just don't think that, like, that fight wouldn't be entertaining.
And it wouldn't be anything to see now.
No. I think they'd be more vicious with their words than their actual swinging.
Probably. I think so. They do more damage with the words.
Yes.
Especially if they had writers.
Yes.
And then, you know, no one's brought this up. Like, I was thinking about it, too. Would a Theo roast be any good with all the Cubs players from that generation? Ripping each other. Those guys could party. That's the same vein as like the Blackhawks of that vintage.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be nearly as
powerful
or just like crude. And like last night's roast was crude.
Yeah.
Like some of Gronk's stuff and Julian Edelman's stuff. I mean, there was some. I don't see a Theo Epstein roast getting that far into the gutter.
If you've talked to him off the air after a few cocktails, he could go that way.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is like Gronk gutters? You know, Gronk's gutter? I don't know.
You bring Grandpa Rossi back after Jed canned him?
Yeah.
You know, you get a little sideshow there?
That could be.
After all the trading of everybody, there'd be a few Chris Bryant jokes thrown in here and there.
Yeah, I still like. I mean, it would be a cerebral roast. It would be for smart people. I don't think it would be like. Yeah. I'm telling you, last night was just wallowing in the gutter for some of those guys.
You'd have Tom Ricketts out there.
Would he participate?
Well, if he's not, there'd be some jokes.
Yeah,
a lot of marquee jokes. Crane Kenny would be the subject of some jokes.
Would be some inside laughs for sure.
Kevin in Orland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
I just got an idea to piggyback off your guys' Jay Cutler roast idea. You know, instead of just limiting it to that one single Bears quarterback, what if we just roasted, you know, every single one? You know, got Rex Grossman out there, Kyle Orton, Trubisky, put them all on stage. Maybe, you know, Mike Glennon. Just a whole bunch of them, just, you know, have at it.
Every former Bears quarterback, you have a long dais, and then you bring up every former quarterback from, like, 1995 on.
Everyone.
Nobody's buying a ticket to that, though, Kevin. Like, everybody has spent the last 30 years roasting them on a daily basis.
No, but it sports sure radio. Would feel good to get roasted, wouldn't it?
I mean, I think one of the things about, like, being a – being the perfect subject of a roast is somebody that has been to the top and has accomplished a ton. I don't think that's the case for any of our previous quarterbacks.
By the way, is this true of what I'm seeing, a new product on the market in the food industry?
I have not seen it.
Named after somebody at Hallis Hall. I got to show it to you at the break.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it on the other side and then get into good, bad, and dirty. There's some Cubs news from Wrigley that we'll tell you about. Jesse's going to join us after we have Jed Hoyer speak. Are they in a mode where they would make a deal early for bullpen help? We'll tell you what goes on at Wrigley Field coming up in just a little bit. All that and more coming up next.